Ancient day, in ancient day, I walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The ring, the heart on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow, until from all there is to know. The body's young, the semi's weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is David James, and this is Fireside Chat with David James. This is show number 3. It's good to be with you again, and I missed this week's news and the Saxon's Creed show because the father was blessing me. And I would like to talk to you about blessings and blessing your brothers and sisters and what it means. Now, all I can say is that I had a brother come over, and he offered me. Okay, let me tell you how this happened. It was kind of strange. I had rooms to finish. These were rooms that were sheetrocked, but needed to be mudded, sanded, and then painted, and all kinds of other things. And I just want to tell you that it was, I've never mudded before, but I learned a lot. Now I know how to do it. So I was filling the last of the screws. You have to fill where the screw holes go. And you have to, you know, if you've ever seen your wall that has had sheetrock, so that you can get it smooth, you have to fill that in. Then you have to fill all the joints in and so on and so forth, and the corners and all that. And it's a good deal of work. Then you have to sand it. Then you have to re-mud it again and sand it again. And it's quite an ordeal. So I was listening to the Beatles song, and this was the end. The studio room is the room I'm trying to I was trying to finish first. And just as I was on the last wall and about the last screw or whatever, last several screws or whatever, I was listening to the Sgt. Pepper's album, and A Little Help from My Friends came on. And what an irony. Wait till you hear how the father answered this prayer and how quickly the father answered the prayer. I was jokingly, Elkie was laying on the floor under me, and I'm up on the ladder, and I was singing, I'm going to finish it with a little help from myself, instead of with a little help from my friends. You know, instead of, I'll get high with a little help from my friends, I get by with a little help from my friends. I'm gonna finish it with a little help from myself. You know, so I was, you know, just joking, you know, kind of laughingly saying it, but serious at the time. I mean, you know, there's nobody that's going to help me, I said. This, you're going to just have to finish this yourself, and it's just the way it is. And I wasn't really complaining or anything. It was just, that's the way it is. It's the way it's been my whole life, practically. Because the reason why I learned to play all the other instruments is because I couldn't get people to come and play for me, so I had to learn how to play them. And since I knew how to play several already, I was able to, and I knew how to rehearse, and I knew how to work on things, and I'm kind of ambidextrous. I was able to just be, you know, bring on other things. Like harmonica was something that came on quite naturally, yet I had never played a harmonica. And flute I do pretty well with. You have to play it all the time to really, really be good at it. So I'm a layman, but I can handle it. And so, you know, I've always had to do things myself. If you can't find somebody to help you, you got to do it yourself, correct? So the thing is that it was going to take me a long time to finish this, maybe 6 more months or something. Not really, but there was so many things to do. So listen to how the Father works in this situation. I had a brother get in touch with me, and he says, this is right after I finished the last nail and was singing with a little help from myself. I shut everything off and fed Elkie and went in and sit down to check my email. And there's an email from one of my dear brothers that listens to my show and respects me and has helped me in the past. And all of a sudden, he says in his email, this is not even an hour later or something. I don't even know how. It's just absolutely stunning is what it is. He says, listen, I have a few days that I'm off right now because I haven't got any calls. So he says, I'd like to come there and help you. And, you know, for free. I'd like to bless you, you know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing, but he did do it for free. And he went so many extra miles. I'm an extra mile fella myself. This guy, you know, he went so many extra miles, it is incredible. And so the Father answers and addresses. I didn't even really pray about that somebody would come and help me. He saw my need. He knew somebody that could meet the need and much beyond that. And he sent the fellow to do this with me. And, of course, I worked right along with him, so I didn't stand there and watch him do the work. We were working together as a team. I was being educated by this fellow as well. And on many subjects, this fellow, he has a great understanding of the Father and the kingdom and the principles of Scripture. And he knows a lot about a lot of different subjects and a little about other subjects, just like me. I mean, I told you that I know a little about a lot of things. And you know that from here, listening to me. But I'm always learning, always willing to learn. I could learn from a dog. I could learn from a child. I could learn from my elders. I mean, you know, it just doesn't matter. I'm just somebody that loves to learn, and this fellow is the same. We were kind of two peas in a pod. He would finish my sentences, and I would finish his. And it was kind of strange and kind of great and everything. But all I'm saying to you is, is the father addressed the need without me even praying for it? Maybe it was because my brothers and sisters were praying for me about something. I don't know. But he came here for 4 or 5 days. The first day we addressed a few things. We didn't really get into the thing, but, you know, addressed a few, just get to know each other, say hello, have a good meal, and we tightened a few screws here and there. That's about it. And some other things I can't remember at this right at this very moment. But it was a blessing. And then the next day we got up and it was a workathon, a marathon. And we fixed things and all fixed the dishwasher. We put up insulation. We finished the outside wall. We did all the sanding and mudding and everything. And now the rooms are paint ready. We also did the trimming around the windows in the whole place down on that floor that needed them. Fixed the sink that was perpetually leaking down the bottom of the... It's a workshop sink, and it was just continually leaking. And that's done. And just, I can't even tell you how many wonderful things. I mean, the dishwasher blew my mind. I learned a lot about dishwashers from just working along with them. And I had already replaced the seal on the dishwasher and the seal down the bottom where the door is. But that didn't address the leak, and rightly so, because the leak was in an odd place. Sort of a design flaw, you know. These Chinamen, they don't have any brains. So, I learned so much from this fellow, but so much more than just how to fix something I learned from him. I learned from him what a real Christian is, in a sense, that I've met very few real Christians. It makes me realize that, you know, don't take that offensively, but lots of people say they're Christian, but they don't do anything. They don't put their money where their mouth, and I don't just mean money. They don't put their actions, let's say, where their mouth is. And so we discussed so many things, and after the dishwasher, we fixed the dishwasher, we were standing around talking for a few minutes, and I said to him, you know what I just realized is that I had gone to someone's house, a brother's house, and I blessed that brother, and I tried to show that brother what it means to serve your brothers. And I fixed things all over the place for him. And I shouldn't be telling you this because I didn't lose my blessing. I'll tell you because I got my blessing. Okay? I'm just trying to give you an example of how the Father works. So in this case, me telling you that I did what I did when I went, because it's my personal belief to anything I come across, I like to leave it in better condition than when I found it. It's just important to me. And it wasn't a thing where I was to get paid for any of these things. It was out of, you know, I saw the need, I addressed the need. And I didn't complain about it. I enjoyed it. It made me feel good to know that my brother and his wife would enjoy the things that I had taken care of. The fellow is very busy himself, so he's so busy he doesn't have time to take care of his own things. He's too busy in his business taking care of other things. Not the fellow that came over my house. This is another fellow. Another brother. And so I blessed him. And I showed an example, or as the Bible said, would say, shewed him an example of what it means to serve your brethren. Or at least I tried to, and I believe it, I did. But what I had realized in the middle of this blessing here is that this was the Father multiplying what I had done back to me. But I don't even... It was such a multiplied blessing that I don't even know what the multiplication was. You know, like, you know, 10 times or 20 times. It's much more than 10 times, much more than 20 times. Because the things I did for my brother, this guy did, you know, much, much, much more for me. So it was multiplied back to me. This blessing was multiplied to me. And this is what I realized, and this is what I talked to him. I said, you know, in the same way as I had tried to show my brother that I was serving him. See, we as the leadership, we serve, you know. That particular brother talks about the fact that the disciples, their feet was washed by Yeshua. That was him showing that the king or the priest serves the sheep, so to speak. We serve them. We don't rule over them and use them as slaves. We are the greatest examples of servants to them, so that they will have such a great example to follow, and they will serve their brothers and sisters, because this equality nonsense is so ridiculous, because none of us are in the same place. You know, there's brothers that you may feel that, well, I don't, you know, this guy doesn't toe the line as he, you know. Well, maybe he's only a couple years old in the Father. Give him some slack until he can learn. It takes years. It took me years to learn, and I still got a lot to learn. We're all at different places in the Father. So we can't just jump on people and say, well, you don't believe everything I believe, so then, you know, we got to split this up. You have to give the youngin' slack. You know, not enough to kill themselves or to hang themselves, but enough to come to the knowledge of the truth through your example, brothers and sisters. And so both of us were in tears, because he told me he was so thankful that the Father used him as a vessel to bless me. And tears are coming to my eyes now just thinking about it, because I'm not trying to cry in front of you. I'm not a crying baby man. But when I think about the Father's mercies and how much he loves us, and when we obey him, the beauty of the thing, it does bring tears to my eyes. I'm not crying like a baby, but I'm, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm still in control of my vessel. There's just a few tears dropping out. That's all. And if you're wondering about my voice, when you, I don't believe I have a cold, but when you're breathing in that dust and stuff, I think it just get a little into my voice, and it's getting a little bit better, and I'll be back to my normal voice very soon. But I figured, don't let this stop me from doing the show. I think you can deal with it. And so, I think what I'd like to say about it is, it's a testimony to you. Why am I telling you this? Because it's a testimony to you that if you give, if you bless your brother and sister, you don't know when, but, I mean, it came right on me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you say, well, you know, when I did the blessing to my brother, I wasn't doing it to get anything back. Well, that wasn't the motivation. And maybe that's why I was blessed back so heavily. Because I wasn't doing it so I could receive, you know, some kind of blessing. Like, you know, like, I'll do this and I'll get a blessing back. And that's not... You want to do things out of the love of your heart, the love for your brothers and sisters. The fact that if the Father wants you to do something for somebody and you do it, you were obedient. And the Father used you as a vessel to bless somebody. And this fellow took great joy in the blessing and is still elated. We were both tired. We worked a marathon. We worked a lot of hours. And it wasn't, you know, we did have some, we had a lot of fun, yes. But I'm just saying, and we did, really. We had a lot of good conversation, a lot of laughs. And Elky, he loved Elky. Elky had a good time here, the Wonder Dog. And so it was just a wonderful thing. I mean, of fellowship and workmanship at the same time. But not only that, he was teaching me while he was blessing me. He was teaching me how to do things. You see? I was getting some training. You know, I told you I'm trying to start a business where I do some handyman type thing. You know what I mean? And just what I learned about the dishwasher alone is absolutely incredible. Because I think that, you know, if there's a leak in a dishwasher or the door doesn't shut right or this or that, I pretty much got it down what to do. So, those of you that have blessed me, I haven't heard a ton of testimony whether the Father is multiplying it back to you, but I would think he is. And I want to thank all of you that have blessed me, because right now it's tight times for me until I get this thing happening where I get some work. And so I have to make it several months on very little money. But this blessing, that's neither here nor there. This blessing will save me about 6 months in time. Because now I can finish jobs. See, I couldn't move my stuff into the rooms because they're not done. So the stuff is taking up place all over the place. You know what I mean? And so that will, you know, and I have a broadcast studio, a little room that's going to be used as a broadcast studio. I couldn't use that. So pretty soon I'll be moving this into the broadcast studio, the little, it's a small room. And this is all because of this fellow. It was not only a blessing for getting all the things done. I mean, he must have solved hundreds of problems, I'd say. Little problems, big problems, whatever. He had one of those sanders that you sand the wall and the ceiling and everything with. And I sanded two rooms myself. So I learned how to do all this stuff too, you see. I was trained. The Father sent him here to do the work for me, with me, and for me. And he also trained me for the things I'm going to be doing in my business. I mean, he didn't train me in all the things I do, but he trained me in other aspects to give me a broader spectrum of what I could fix, let's say. So, how could I ever thank this brother? I mean, you know, it is the most wonderful thing. It's the biggest blessing I've ever received in my life. My own dad and mom never blessed me even to the tenth of what this man did for me. My friends throughout my life were never friends like this. One thing I'll tell you right now is that ever since I've been doing my radio show, I've received brothers and sisters that have been better than any brothers and sisters I've ever had in my life, including family style brothers and sisters too. It's nice that the Father has given me Elky and has given me friends and has given me people that I've never seen a man do what this fellow did. I mean, Eli helped me to move from there to here, too. So that was a wonderful blessing. I couldn't say enough about it. It's amazing. But I've never seen anybody else help me in any way like anything like that before. I had one fellow from my old friends, I'd say, that actually taught me how to organize things. So I would say that, yeah, there's a little bit of something there. But most people don't do things for people very often. I encourage you, if you see a brother and sister in need or a brother in need and you can meet that need, try to do that for them. And I believe Yahweh will catch you off guard and bless you back exponentially and show you his wonderful mercies. See, the Father wants me to be able to get this work done so that I'm ready for my business, but I will have the time to serve him. If I'm playing around with walls and painting walls and all this kind of stuff all the time, I mean, it takes away from what I can do for you and for the kingdom. So if you have a brother in need and you see that brother in need, and the Father calls you to meet the need, and I think you will be blessed. I don't think you'll be sorry. It really, teaches me that our love for each other is one of the greatest things we have. In the virtual hellhole that we're in this world, the love for each other can outweigh the horror. You know what I mean? I can't even express to you how thankful I am to the Father. I believe I thank him so much at times I'm probably aggravating him. But I taught you, and I thank this brother, and I will continue to thank him too, because I genuinely mean it. I genuinely appreciate every little thing that was done. And it's just so wonderful. I don't know what you think about what I'm saying, but I guess until you experience it, you just don't know. Because you're not used to being treated right. Do you know what I mean? You're not used to being somebody giving their time for you, because the world teaches you that time is money. That's another thing about me having my albums and doing my albums myself for the most part. Is when I wanted to have somebody come down and play, they figure, well, what are you going to do with the music or this or that? In other words, I had some friends play with me, but most people were just like, well, they want to be paid for everything. Like I told you, when I do something for somebody, it's for free. When somebody does something for me, it's got to be paid. I have to pay for it. Well, the Father saw to it that I didn't have to pay for it. Besides, I don't have any money to pay for it. I'm living on the blessings of before, and I'm living on fumes of those blessings, the fumes of those blessings. So I'm starting to get backed up against the wall. Let's just put it that way. But the Father, I must say, has met my needs. You remember I asked him for a tractor. That doesn't mean because he hasn't given me one yet, doesn't mean he won't. because he's met all my needs. You see, I came here and my needs have been met while I'm here. I'm okay. I'm relying on him. And I'm not really sweating it, but you know how when your back is getting, when financially you're back, you're being back to the wall and you're saying, geez, I only got so much money left and that's it. What will happen after that? Trusting the Father is important. And it's easy to say, trust the Father. And we certainly can. But you still can't help feeling the ramifications of the world. The world that is a hellhole. It's virtual hell, I say. The world that the Father tells you to stay out of is virtual hell. And like I told this brother, I says, you know, if it wasn't for the birds and the animals and some things that and the trees and the wonderful things that bring you joy in the world, this would be a complete hellhole. I find it hard, but I want to tell you and ask you to pray for a brother of ours. His name is Parker. And nobody had told me Parker was even, his life was in danger twice, and he's been in the hospital and so on and so forth, and I had no idea. So I didn't know to pray for him, you understand? But I just found out about Parker a few days ago, and he's come down with something that's bad, and I ask you to pray the same prayers I prayed. When you pray for anybody that's in the medical community's hands, pray that they will be delivered completely and restored to whole, and that they will be delivered from the medical community, which is the third largest killer in the nation, and from the pharmaceutical industry, which is the fourth largest killer in this nation. I implore you to pray for this fellow. He's only 29 years old. He's got his whole life ahead of him. And it's such a horror, this world. Please pray for him and do something out of the love of your heart for a brother. One other little thing I'd like to mention is that the same people that bred Elkie, they have 6 German Shepherds right now. I believe 4 are male and 2 are female or something like that. And there's a few Black Sables and a few Black. I think 4 Black Sables and 2 Blacks. They're not Negroes, of course. They're Black. And get in touch with me if you're interested in having a German Shepherd. They can have it flown out to you. These are expensive dogs because they're the real German Shepherds from Germany, not the American ones that have the hip problems and so on and so forth. These are, you know, a lot of people don't mind having hybrid dogs. Well, these aren't hybrid dogs. These are the real deal, as Yahweh makes them. And so you could at least know your dog is not a hybrid, in hybrid. So, if you are interested in that, be sure to get in touch with me. And I can hook you up with them, and you could discuss on how to get your dog. They fly these dogs all over the country, so don't miss it if you want this litter. If you're in a cold climate, the German Shepherd's made for the cold climate. They can be in the warm climate too, but they are made for the cold climate. And I can tell you, Elkie is quite some dog. My friend that had come over here, he kept mentioning something that I always look at and say, I just can't believe it. the paws of this dog have such a, it's like artwork. It's like they have brown and black and it's just amazing artwork of the father. The whole dog is just artwork. Just like birds are artwork of the father, his handiwork. Now, when I tell you about these people that are selling the dogs, I'm not selling the dogs. I don't breed dogs. It's hard work to breed dogs. So just get in touch with me if you're interested in hooking up with them, okay? Okay, back to what we're talking about. Blessings. The fellow did not complain when he was blessing me, even when he was in pain. This is an example of how to serve your brothers. It's just like when the father says, if you fast, don't let everybody know it by a sour look and all that. You know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing, but you know what I mean. Wash your face, comb your hair, don't. You know, like, don't be like a Pharisee who would want everybody to know, see, I'm fasting, I'm in pain. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Or, hello, everybody, watch me, I'm praying. Or, by the way, I'm giving some money to the ministry, everybody, look here. Yeah. And so, here we are. I've been here about 8 months right now. And I'm really enjoying it. You know, this fixing stuff and all this stuff is not totally new to me, but it's... I've had to educate myself a lot, you know, which is what I've done with music. I educated myself to become an engineer of music. And am I the best engineer you'll ever find? Absolutely not. You have to do that stuff all the time. You know what I mean? So I learn this and I learn that and I learn this and I learn that. And I love learning. Because when you have... when you want to learn the truth, you like to learn all kinds of things. You know, I told you how I cook. Well, it's been proven that I can cook pretty well. I can make people smile with my cooking. And does that make me a homosexual? No. The best cooks in the world are men. Always have been. But I was always interested in cooking because, number one, I'm single. And I used to be married. But I just was very interested in cooking and learning. Because as me and the brother were resting at the end of the day, we would watch a couple of Bob Rosses. You know, the guy who did the thing about, you know, I used to have a pet crocodile, and every day I fed him, and every day he bit me. And then when I let him go, he even tried to bite me then. I don't think you can make a pet out of a crocodile, he says, you know. And he was laughing because he didn't know who that was. And he had never seen Bob Ross before. And he was intrigued because this fellow loves learning too. I've watched Bob Ross for years, yet I've never painted, but I believe I could. But you see, those things that Bob Ross does with painting with light and shadow, and that's how you make things happen. I learned how to apply that to other things in my life, like mixing. And we were talking about this, and he said, wow, that's, you know, that's very interesting. And I showed him how it kind of applies to, crudely, to doing the work on the walls and so on and so forth. These things are relative. And there's a lot of things. You know, it's like when I'm preaching to you, you hear me get a little passionate from time to time. But if I'm yelling all the time, it's not doing you any good. There have to be peaks and valleys. There have to be subtle talk. And then when you get passionate, you rise the boil rises up a little bit, right? You know, the water begins to boil a little bit, and then you turn the heat off, and it settles back down. You know, and I am an intense fellow. But Fireside Chat is designed to be where I just relax most of the time. And I'm actually wrapped in a comforter, sitting on my couch with a heat dish in front of me and a microphone and a cup of coffee and you. And I enjoy speaking to you and trying to help you and trying to help you relate the scripture to your life. I'm not here to decipher every word for you. I'm here to help you to apply the scriptures to your life. To try to give you wisdom and knowledge so that you will be able to live longer. So that you will be able to have your prayers answered. Maybe you didn't know that you weren't supposed to pray with your hat on. Well, now you do. If you were praying with your hat on, you were you were negating the prayer. You know, so these things that need to be taught to you are taught to you so that you'll teach your children and you'll teach others and your friends the same things. See, the more success I have, and the more success I give to you, the more you give to someone else, and the more the success of the body of Christ will have. There's fewer of us in the world right now. The Jew has depleted our population and has made sure that there's less of the Holy Spirit in the world because there's less of the Father's children in the world. But that doesn't mean anything, because the Father can magnify the power within the few or the whole. But the few must have an understanding of obedience. That's one of the reasons he has me teaching you about Abraham and the book of Jasher and about the equation of obedience. See, if I can get, I'm trying to obey to the T, but no, nobody obeys to the T. You just do the best you can possibly do. But if I can get you winning battles in your own life, and you having success, and you're obeying to the best of your ability, and now we've got more people, because it starts with you. I don't mean to say it starts with me giving to you, it just starts with you. You have to decide that you have a responsibility for the kingdom. You need to be holy, you need to be the best you can be, you need to obey and want to obey to the best of your ability. For what? So that it will benefit the body of Christ. You need to not only do this for Yahweh and yourself, but you need to do this for your brothers and sisters. You need to obey for your brothers and sisters. It's not just a responsibility for you to obey. You need to do it for the good of the whole of the body of Christ. I feel a responsibility to you, dear brother and sister. And my obedience is not only to please Yahweh, but it's to for you. You got to realize that for one fellow like Lot, who wasn't even the most obedient in the world, Yahweh did not slam Sodom and Gomorrah until he got them out of there. So if one of us is the best, and it doesn't have to be me, it could be you. If Yahweh could save this nation we live in for one obedient man that was doing the right thing. It's possible, folks. It's possible. But if we're all just lukewarm and all that kind of stuff, it's not going to end up good. We need to raise the level of our obedience so that we raise the level of the power of the Holy Spirit on this planet, so that the resistance to evil is magnified because it's been depleted because of killing all of our people. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. I have a responsibility to you. You have a responsibility to me. We have a responsibility to the kingdom and the Father. Understood? So that's why I teach you these things. Or the Father has me teach them. I don't know how these things happen. I don't sit around preparing these messages for you. I come and I usually speak off the top of my head, and I read out of the book of Jasher sometimes, or this or that, right? If I'm doing a reading out of a book. But I always comment on it, and it always brings forth things that the Father wants to say. In other words, I leave the door open for Him to say what needs to be said. I don't plan every word out for you, because I don't think that's not preaching to me. I don't think every word should be planned out. And I never worry about having something to say. naturally, because I am who I am, I suppose. I have a lot to say. But it's not like I'm saying things that are useless or repeating myself just to say words. I'm not wasting any words, really. If I repeat something to you, it's because even the scriptures repeat to us, because that's what we need to hear. We need to hear things again and again sometimes before it finally gets us. Because I'll tell you a little secret that I've told you before. One read takes five listens. So if you were to read a book, or you were to listen to it on audio tape, it would probably take you around five or more listenings to really get what was in that book. Because there's something that happens when you listen, your mind drifts. You know how I always say to you during the shows, I'll say, now don't drift on me. How do I know that? Because it happens to me too, folks. There's been times where I'd be waiting to hear something, right? And I'd say, geez, I missed that. I'll go back, right? I'll go to listen to it again, and my mind will drift again, and I'll say, I got to go back and listen to it again. I mean, just a little part. You know what I mean? And I've had it happen up to five times before. Now, that's not usually what happens, but it can happen. You just get thinking about other things, and you miss beautiful nuggets and all kinds of things that are being taught to you. And that's the purpose of repetition, to solidify it in your mind. Just like they try to solidify things in your mind with memes or memes, whichever you want to call that, tomatoes or tomatoes. You know, an example with that is, well, only the higher-ups in Freemasonry know what's going on. The people down the bottom don't know anything. And you know I've told you about how ridiculous that is. The people down the bottom are the ones breaking the legs. It's not that everybody in the bottom knows what's going on, but there's people from bottom to top that are working for the top. No matter if it's Catholic Church, Jesuits, Masons, bankers, whatever you want to say, any part of this Babylonian nightmare. So if you're sitting around and you're saying, why doesn't Yahweh bless me? Maybe because you haven't blessed somebody else. Maybe because you're not obedient. I'm trying to give you answers on why, so that you don't sit around and say, why am I not being blessed? Does the Father not love me? Does He care about somebody else, but He doesn't care about me? Well, have you blessed other people? Have you thought of other people and tried to meet their needs It's just a question. Have you been obedient? Or were you praying with your hat on? I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why your prayers might not be answered. Sometimes prayers aren't answered because they can't be answered yet. There's something that has to happen before it can be answered. That I was taught that by when I moved from Boston to here. I was wondering why the Father wasn't letting me sell my house. He knew I was under pressure. Why wouldn't he answer my prayer? Well, it turns out that the house wasn't on the market at that time. And I knew I'd get an answer on why he didn't answer it. But, you know, I would say to Eli and Steve, I'd say, doesn't he want his son to be free? You see what I mean? I'm just showing you that I'm a man like you. I'm just a regular fellow like all of you are. Part of it is teaching us, as my brother told me, he says, he's trying to teach us to trust him. And he's right. But he also knows what I told him. I said, you know, it's easy to say that, but when your back is up against the wall and you're in the wilderness, you can't help but feel the storm, like Peter. It's easy to down Peter, I said to him, you know, and say, well, you know, ye of little faith, like the Father said to him, you know what I mean? But he's walking in the water, and he's trying to keep his eyes on the Father in the flesh. And the storm is brewing around him and trying to take his attention away. The devil is always trying to take you off out of the way. Make him go to the left. Make him go to the right. Don't stay in the way. Don't keep your eyes on the Father. Look at this. There's a storm here, fella. Look at this. Don't look at him and trust him. Look at the storm around you. And that's when you fall into the water. Easy to for us to look at what happened to Peter and say, well, geez, well, you know, if it was me, I would have stayed on top of the water. I wonder how many people really think that. I think I would have fallen in the water just the same as Peter did. Peter loved the Father. Or if you want to say the Son, we can say the Son. He loved him dearly. But the storm can be heavy. And the devil creates the storm in your life. And sometimes you create the storm in your life. Sometimes you are the cause of the storm. The devil's not always the one to blame for everything. The devil just uses your disobedience to whip up storms in your life. Look at Job when I taught on Job. The Father knew there was dross in Job. That's what created the storm in his life. And the Father wanted pure gold. He wanted to remove the dross. And let me tell you, when the dross is getting removed from you, it's not so comfortable. You can think like, well, you should be more faithful. You should be more, you know, trusting. You should, well, you sit in those shoes that Job was in, with boils all over you and your friends mocking you and everything else, you might say a few things that are choice wrong too. The only thing is Job thought that his righteousness superseded that of Yahweh, which is impossible in the first place, and quite frankly ridiculous. There's nobody that supersedes the Father in any form or fashion. Any form or fashion. He's the great creator. He's the creator of creators. He's the priest, high priest of priests. He's the king of kings. He's the greatest father of all fathers. He's the judge of judges. It's by his standards judges should be judging. Because he is the top of the top of the top. So, just dig that. That I can assure you 100% that you, if you obey the Father, yeah, the devil might chase you a little bit too, but he's, you'll see that the Father is the deliverer, as I spoke with my brother about. He delivered me, and he will deliver you. And he's meeting my needs and has met my needs and has taken care of me my whole life. I've never not worked, folks. I had more money when I was a paper boy than I have now. I have not made any money since I've been here. And that's what I'm talking about. So, I hope this imparts hope to you. I want to tell you something about this situation, too, is that when you get a good look at our people, you can kind of lose faith. They're really a mess right now. But you know, this brother gives me faith and hope in our people. Think about that. You see, when you serve your brothers and sisters, you'll also be meeting something that's important. You'll be showing them that there are true Christians. There are real people that really love the Father. They don't just say they love the Father. They walk it and show you it, express it. And you know what that does, frankly? That gives me hope. Hope in a hopeless world. Hope in a world where our people are so amiss right now. It's a wonder the Father doesn't just turn his back for good and just say, that's it, I'm through with them. For good. Make sure you love the Father. Make sure you love the truth. For when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me. What he's saying is the way to the Father is the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. In other words, the Word of God in the flesh body. By us living the Scripture, by it living in us. And when it does, it brings us life. So the truth is life. The truth is truth. And the truth is the way. It's the way to be in the Father's kingdom. It's the way to be on the way, on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing that was made without him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Now, I have that in memory. I've had that in memory for a long time. Because I understand in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, because the Word is part of you. As a man, you're as good as your Word. If your word is no good, you're no good of a man. If you can't stand up to your word and actually complete your word and obey your own word and your words are true, then you aren't much of a man. The Father took his word, which is part of him, and put it in a flesh body. It was him. His word is him. His word is the truth. He put it in a body. He took the truth, put it in a body, and sent it to you. You understand what I mean by that? That part of him. You could almost say it's his heart and mind. And he put that in a body. And he delivered his word to you and I. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Fireside Chat with David James. I love you all, and I have hope in you and for you. See that you obey, and you shall not be disappointed.
So full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those of of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't.